Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey joins us later in the hour to discuss the latest with the migrants flown from Texas to Martha's Vineyard. We turn now to our guests here in Studio 2, Joel Christian Gill. Inaugural chair of Boston University's MFA in Visual Narrative, is back to help us continue our dive into the world of comics. Joel, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And you've brought with you a guest, Meg Rotzel, who's curator of exhibitions for the Harvard Radcliffe Institute. Meg, welcome to you, too.
I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you. And Joel, you wanted us to meet Meg because of an exhibit that is called Drawing Us Together, Public Life and Public Health in Contemporary Comics. It's at the Radcliffe Institute, and I'm going to begin with, I'm sorry, what?
So, you know, thinking about comics, which you've heard me say before, comics are a sneaky way to teach people stuff, right? So as we've started the process of thinking about comics in a broader context, more people are reaching out to comics, which is why Meg's show is really important, because it's talking about, it's using the symbolic language that we've talked about a little bit before to communicate in ways that we can't do it. So it's like a deeper thing. Like you almost don't know that you're reading something and you're learning something. And the show, I'll let Meg talk about some of the show, but the show was really great because it actually shows a lot of, it focuses on the attack on democracy or how our democracy works and how our healthcare system works. So Meg, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
So that's the public health.
That's the
public life and the public health.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I was really interested in these graphic guides that come from the Center for Cartoon Studies. One of our fellows, James Sturm, was working on these. And there is two in this this series, one on democracy and one on the healthcare system. And I was having a really hard time reading back during the period of quarantine. And I got a hold of these two graphic guides. And when I was reading both of them, I started realizing that at this particular moment in time, I had never seen our healthcare and our health so politicized. And so I started reading in these two areas. And I'm not a comic book person, but because I
not
was
yet.
Well, I mean, maybe I am now. I think maybe I am now. And I began getting comic books from the Harvard Library System, and I realized many of them were actually coming from the medical library, the Countway Medical Library. And so I started reading deeply into these two areas of democracy. Or finding that books were coming under, for me, democracy and healthcare. And so I've organized this exhibition around these two themes and then have created a library of over 80 comics that people can come and browse at the exhibition. And then you can also draw and
make some mini comics.
Make some mini comics, yes.
So there's a piece of me that thinks, well, yeah, that makes total sense when you bring in the democracy piece. I mean, political cartoons, for example, have been part of our public discussion since we've had newspapers, for example. At first, I was more surprised about the health dimension. And then I thought about those smiley faces to frowny faces in an emergency room, like where you give your pain level, right? And you point to the one.
Yep.
Is that the basis of what we're talking about here when we talk about comics as a way to communicate health and public health information?
In 2015, the word of the year was the LOL emoji. And when you look at how language evolves, it evolves in a way that starts with images, and then it evolves into a pictorial language, right? And that's the idea of how comics work. And I think when looking at, you know, graphic medicine, shout out to Matthew Noah, right?
Because
Matthew is a librarian over there who's dope. You know, like I think when you take that information and you're looking at ways to talk to different people, right? When you're looking at different ways to communicate to a large population, one of the key ways to do that is with visual language. And what better way to do that than to communicate with visual language and pictures in the form of comics. When you stop thinking about how comics are basically superheroes, and I think that's really interesting because when I was at the museum with at the Radcliffe yesterday with Meg, and it was interesting that she hadn't put any superhero comics, and I was like, talk about like how like because most people's like intro into comics is superheroes, right. And yours isn't.
Yeah, mine is not. Mine is because I think I'm such a visual thinker that what I was really looking for was almost nonfiction comics. So I was particularly interested when reading experiences of illness, experiences of mental health, experiences of grief. And that is something that is really hard to see with people. Like, we've all had those experiences. We're human. But then when
What do you mean it's difficult to see with people?
Like, we all know that the person next to us has likely been sick, has experienced grief, but it's not something, I mean, it shows, but also in our day-to-day life, that narrative kind of goes away. It's hidden. And then when I was reading experiences in those areas, I had a deep connection and felt empathy towards others, but I also could recognize things in my own self, particularly during the period of quarantine, in mental health, and that there something came alive for me there. And the same thing was going on when I made some selections for our democracy wall. Like, we have historical narratives and that sort of thing, but we also have stories about coming to America or being first and second generation. We have experience of like what it's like to be a particular person that I am not. And I found that to be so moving that I wanted to make an exhibition about it.
And I think that's like the beauty of comics, right? Because you're talking exactly about the thing that I spend a lot of time talking to people about when I talk about comics, which mm-hmm. is the ability to create empathy, right? And that expressive cartooning, which people think, oh, that's really simple. But it's like, that is the thing that when we see that smiley face, right? You always hear, like, we're changing the color of the thumbs up emoji, right? So that it's brown, so that it's more inclusive. Nobody ever changes the color of the smiley face emoji, right? Because we see ourselves in that,
yes.
Right? That because it's so nonspecific that we actually can pour ourselves into it, right? It becomes a vessel for who we are. And that's why I think comics and medicine is an important thing, or comics and journalism, or
yes.
just broaden the understanding about how comics are not just, you know, superheroes. They are a broader thing.
So we're talking public life and public health and comics. We just heard Joel Christian Gill here in Studio 2, inaugural chair of the Boston University MFA in Visual Narrative. We also have here Meg Rotzel, who's the curator of exhibitions at the Harvard Radcliffe Institute, where there is an exhibit on this here. Mm-hmm. Pick it back up, Meg.
Yeah. So in this exhibition, I'm really hoping that people who are really into comics and people who are new to comics come, and that they're able to see narratives across the spectrum of different kinds of people and their experience in America.
So for people who are new to comics, they may not even know how to imagine what we're talking about. So describe one comic in the exhibit that's public health.
One that is public health. Well, I have to talk about the graphic guide to public health then. So this comic, which is made by the Center for Cartoon Studies and James Sturm, actually with students from Harvard, is drawn in the Richard Scarry style, and it shows kind of how our public health system is created and its history. And one of my favorite spreads is actually of a hospital, and it's thinking about finance, like, our medical bills are so hard, if you even see one, are really hard to understand. And this image is actually of, if you remember Busy Town, like a hospital that's cut in half. And inside of that, you can see all of these different hospital rooms, lab rooms, this
like,
and that.
Like a cross-section
yeah,
of a hospital.
Exactly. And all the animals are doing their thing. And then there's all of this like language around it that says, like, this person just gave birth. This is something that's about, like, giving birth in the system. This are some labs. Did you know that this could be counted in this way or that way with financially? And so you actually see the broad spread of what is happening in the hospital, but what's also happening in these outside systems and experiences.
So, Joel, how about an example? You've seen the exhibit, yeah. right? You're doing a panel this afternoon, and we'll give the information for people who are interested in that at the end.
Yes.
What about a political example, a public life example?
Well, this is what democracy looks like. It's on the other wall. So yeah. that's actually perfect. Like, you talk about the healthcare, I'll talk about democracy. And it basically goes through. And just to give people a sense, like, when you walk into the space, these are giant comics on the wall. So you can actually read an excerpt of what the comics are, which is really important when you're thinking about comics in museums and museum spaces, because for the artist, it's not the individual page or the art, it's the actual story. And so it goes through a process of, like, you know, how the federal government works, how we vote for people, what that means. It's really amazingly designed by Dan Knott, mm-hmm. Who is also at the Center for Cartoon Studies. And it just walks you through that. But then other examples of books in there, Run, which is John Lewis's the second series, is also in there, which talks about his run for Congress. What's the George Takei?
So, just to clarify for listeners, the late John Lewis, civil rights activist, yeah. who also served in Congress, and there was this series,
March. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. March, which was written by Andrew Iden and drawn by Nate Powell. So, the second series, and I'm forgetting the artist's name now, but Andrew drew that. Nate drew the cover, and it's a very powerful book. But there's also Rebecca Hall's Wake is in there, which right. is a history of women-led slave rebellions. And I'm thinking menopause is in there.
Yeah, lots of women's health, too.
Lots of women's health, which I think is really important, specifically because Black women are being treated like Black men, based on how doctors are doing to Black women what the police are doing to Black men. So I think that's a really important thing. Given that comics have this tendency to teach in this way that people don't understand. I just remember my grandmother who was 90, she passed away over the summer, but I would give her my comics, and I don't think she spent a lot of time reading books, but she would read them cover to cover, mm-hmm. right? And I think that thing is like, and the title of the exhibition is Drawing Us Together. And I think comics are a perfect thing to draw us together because like I said, when you see those individual expressive cartooning drawings, you feel like you feel yourself. When you look at those images of people on the wall, you don't see other people. You see yourself in that position.
So Joel Kristen Gill and Meg Rotzel are here in Studio 2. We're talking about democracy, public life, public health, and comics. Just to go back to a point you made, Joel, there is research to demonstrate that Black women in healthcare are believed less, have poorer outcomes, et cetera, just to underscore that
exactly.
part there. So another thread, and Meg, I'll turn to you on this, another thread that I'm interested in picking up on this. Again, I'm unabashed in my novice nature here. Right?
Also a novice a little over here, too.
And I'm good with that.
I'll be the expert for both of them.
There you great, go. You run the expert lane. This empathy piece mm-hmm. and this education piece is interesting because I have been socialized to think of comics as either silly or cynical.
Uh-huh.
And you are presenting neither.
Yes. But as I was speaking with your producer earlier, there is a sense of play there. And I think that is something that is key to understanding. So when I was talking about how I couldn't read, it's not that I'm not literate. It's that I was under so much stress of just getting the day done under the conditions that we're under.
This is 2020, if anybody yeah. cannot remember what it
yes.
was like.
The 10 yeah. years of 2020.
Yeah, thank you.
And that the part Stealing of me that was available to be playful, which is a visual part of me and also something that really keeps me together, was gone. I had lost it. And through images, I could see other artists playing, and I could see them using the medium, using color, using line, and actually using the way that things appear on the page, like the gutter. Expert, I want you to talk a little bit about the gutter.
Where all the magic happens.
Yeah. And that playfulness, like, allowed me to take in, like, some deeper, heavier things, and I could engage in these very, very important topics.
So we have a couple minutes left.
Yes,
so you get either that or the gutter.
I'm going to talk about
one
the gutter.
Or the other.
I'm going to talk about the gutter because I think it's a really important, and it's like a magical thing in comics. The gutter is that place in which the cartoonist and the reader have a pact. And the cartoonist basically throws you the lob and you, the reader, have to hit it,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you have to make that connection between those two panels. And when we
so
are
you're
doing...
you're talking about that space between
Yeah, I'm talking
panels.
About yep. that space. That's where that happens, right? And if you are a great cartoonist, James is a great cartoonist, mm-hmm. Nate is a great cartoonist, they do that really well to the point where you feel like you automatically know what's going to happen. You don't have to think about it. It's like this thing that comes along. And then the words actually add to that, which is the power of comics. I am an evangelist for comics, if nothing else.
So one last thing, and Meg... this isn't the only exhibit. Boston College actually has one
right.
on comics as well, American Alternative Comics, 1980 to 2000. Are we at a stage where we will see more curation of comics coming forward?
I definitely think so, because Montserrat College also has a show that's up as well. I think that this is a moment.
And BU has one of coming course. in the spring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody's, sorry, just, never mind. I was getting a note on the board and it doesn't help me in this case. Live radio, folks, that's where we are. All right. So this is Meg Rotzel, who's curator of exhibitions for the Harvard Radcliffe Institute, and Joel Christian Gill, inaugural chair of Boston University's Masters of Fine Art in Visual Narrative. You can hear more from the two of them on this exhibit in a virtual panel discussion at 4 p.m. today. We have information about it. As available at the Harvard Radcliffe Institute website, and the exhibit Drawing Us Together is on display through December 17th. I got all that out.
I know, that's
right?
great.
It was wonderful to have both of you. I appreciate it. And Joel, you'll come back again. We're going to keep this project up.
I will be back again.
I am falling in love as we go along.
And I will tune in.
Excellent.